Recently, the House of Representatives passed a bill called the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. However, it failed in the Senate, and that was by a vote of 51 to 46. We're going to talk about that right now, that bill, and the implications on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Monica Burke of the Heritage Foundation. Monica, good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Jerry.
Sure. Go ahead and explain about the bill itself, the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, and then we'll get into the issue about the Senate, you know, failing to pass it.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So what this bill would have done had it been passed is the bill would outlaw abortions at 20 weeks, and that's the age at which studies show unborn infants can feel pain. And so this bill actually is a great consensus-building bill. Recent polls show that 63% of Americans support a ban on abortion after 20 weeks, and that includes 56% of people who identify as pro-choice. So this should be a common-sense piece of legislation when it's pro-science. Science demonstrates in embryological studies that infants can feel pain this young. We've had children who have been born at 20 weeks who have been viable, who are now happy, healthy, thriving children. And so what should have been a common sense piece of legislature unfortunately did not pass the Senate this past week.
Okay, so the 51 to 46 vote, was that 51 voting in favor of the bill? Or was that 51 opposing the bill in the Senate?
So actually, given the filibuster rule, there needs to be 60 votes in order to end debate on the legislation and then move to vote on the actual bill. And so 51 senators blocked the bill from being called to a vote.
Oh.
So that's actually what those numbers signify.
So in other words, 51 in this particular instance of the senators voted in favor of abortion rights, even though three Democrats actually joined with the, you know, most of the Republicans who voted for the bill. So there were also some Republicans who defected. In other words, they voted on the pro-abortion side of things. So go ahead and unpack that for us about the actual vote itself, because I think this is very revealing.
Yes, that's correct. So some of the notable figures in this vote. So there were three Democrats who voted in favor of calling to a vote and voting for this 20-week ban. Joe Manchin, Bob Casey Jr. from Pennsylvania, and Joe Donnelly, all three of them voted in favor of the ban.
And can I ask you a quick question? Can I ask you a quick question, Monica? Are these by any chance facing re-election soon, maybe 2018? I mean, I'm just wondering.
I'd have to go individually, case by case. One of the great things about putting this piece of legislature up to a vote is precisely that reason, that now we have senators from states who are up for re-election in 2018 going on the record and stating their positions on an issue that most Americans agree that we should have a ban on abortion after 20 weeks. We're actually one of only seven countries, including North Korea and China, that allow abortions, elective abortions, this late. So that is one of the reasons why this vote was so important.
Okay, so talk about the Republican side of things. Obviously, some Republicans voted with the majority of the Democrats in a pro-abortion move.
Yes, so there were two Republicans who actually voted against the bill. That was Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. Both voted against the bill. And then there were three senators who were absent who didn't actually vote. That included John McCain, Tammy Baldwin, and Bill Nelson.
Well, Bill Nelson would have been pro-abortion. Tammy Baldwin would have been pro-abortion. McCain, I think, by and large, has a pro-life voting record, so that would have been 2-1. It still wouldn't have passed. It certainly couldn't pass by just, you know, a straight majority, much less the 60 rule or 60 votes. By the way, I don't get to how that works, Monica. Explain to me, how is it that sometimes they can vote with a simple majority, such as they voted in Neil Gorsuch to be, you know, Supreme Court justice, but they, in other votes, they need to have a 60 vote majority. How does that work?
So unfortunately for us, I'm not a Senate rules expert, but basically, in most situations, that's been referred to as sort of the nuclear option. It's not the typical operations of things. Normally, you'd need to hit the 60-vote threshold in order to end the debate. That's the filibuster rule, and then move on to voting on the actual bill.
Hmm. All right. Now, how do...
typical.
Sure. Now, going back to the babies themselves, the unborn babies, how do we know that they feel pain at week 20 and beyond? And by the way, if for all we know, it could be even earlier, but how do we know it at the 20-week level threshold?
Yes, that's correct. So a lot of the different systems necessary in order to experience pain have already formed by the 20-week phase. So some examples, the nervous system has already developed as early as 6 weeks. Sensory receptors for pain are present by 7 weeks. And then the connections between the spinal cord and the thalamus part of the brain that function for pain perception, they're almost complete by 20 weeks. And so there have also been studies on brain scans that indicate there's a fetal response to pain, which is why when they perform surgery on fetuses this young, they use painkillers.
Wow.
And so basically in a completely different context, we treat the baby as pain capable, and yet it's still legal to abort children this late. And in fact, studies suggest that children might even be more susceptible to pain at this age, feel pain more intensely because they have yet to develop pain inhibitors, which normally occurs at 34 to 36 weeks of gestation.
Oh.
So this is really, truly a horrific, horrific procedure.
So in effect, it's almost as if a baby aborted at week 36 can deal with the pain more effectively than a baby in the womb aborted at week 20.
So theoretically, yes. We have had instances where children have been born as early as 20 weeks, and that's exactly why you would use drugs in order to control pain management. For example, Micah Pickering, he's 5 years old now. When this bill was introduced on the House side, his family brought him to Washington and brought him before the Congress to basically put a face to this act. And he was born at 20 weeks.
Wow.
And now he's 5 years old. He's healthy and thriving. And, of course, when he was born, he received all due medical attention. But, again, it remains legal to abort children who are pain-capable as of 20 weeks. And this should be a consensus-building bill. It is the extremism of the abortion lobby that keeps this procedure legal.
Wow. Think about this. Here the Senate is not able to defund Planned Parenthood, which, you know, they do about a third of a million abortions a year. They make a lot of money doing it. They literally make millions and millions of dollars. And then you talk about the abortion lobby. So some of that lobbying dollars are raised by our own taxes, and then they turn around and they don't allow children, unborn babies, feeling this pain to be spared from this, if possible.
Yes, it's absolutely horrific, and that's why even though the Senate failed to pass this bill, there will continue to be pro-life initiatives in Congress. We have other pieces of legislature to turn to, for example, initiatives to defund Planned Parenthood. There's also the Born Alive bill, which would ensure that children who are born after a botched abortion procedure receive due medical attention, that they're not left to die, left to suffer, that they're treated like any other wanted child and are taken to the appropriate medical personnel. So the fight does not stop here.
You know, it's interesting. What if these were little baby sea turtles or something like that? Seriously. And they, it could be documented that they feel pain when they're being killed. I wonder if the majority would have voted differently.
That's a really interesting point. And again, I think that's precisely why the majority of Americans are not in favor of abortion this late. To reiterate the statistic, 63% of Americans would support a ban on abortion after 20 weeks. And it just goes to show that voting down this bill was out of touch with the majority of the American people. It's a facing the truth of this procedure, you realize just how horrific it is. Americans would like to see a ban imposed this late. So we continue fighting.
All right, let me ask you a question. Some have said that they blame ultimately the Republicans for this, that in effect that this is just grandstanding. It's kind of like the old let's repeal Obamacare bills, which they passed over and over and over, knowing full well that the president, when he was Obama, would veto those bills. Then when Trump comes becomes president, they're not able to pass a repeal Obamacare bill.
Yes, and some of that, to get into the individual politics of why this bill did not pass would take hours and a ton of speculation. But I think the important thing that we need to come back to is that the pro-life movement continues to fight and continues to be strong. I think the fact that this bill, 45 years after Roe versus Wade, mm-hmm. made its way to the floor indicates that the fight for the right to life is not over. The pro-life movement continues to work to keep this issue at the forefront of our minds. And millennials, for example, are increasingly pro-life. We've seen pro-choice advocates predicted after Roe versus Wade that this issue would just die out. And it absolutely has not. It continues to be a huge part of public discourse. And so, although it is a shame that this bill did not pass, I think the pro-life movement is doing admirable work.
And just to put things in perspective, what percentage of abortions approximately would occur 20 weeks and after? About.
So I don't have an actual statistic. The number is relatively low, which
compared
is part
to
of the reason why
earlier.
This should be, yes, compared yeah. to earlier term abortions, which is part of the reason why this should be an easy bill to pass. It's just about putting common sense regulations in place on the abortion industry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any concluding thought?
I would just like to reiterate that the pain putting the mark on the pain capable bill should be a common sense piece of legislature. Hopefully, we'll have another crack at it someday. But until then, we continue to have other pro-life initiatives, like I mentioned, the Born Alive bill and defunding Planned Parenthood. So I think that pro-lifers have plenty of reason to hope, even after the Senate failed to pass this bill.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us. Monica Burke of the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, for more information. Thank you, Monica. All the best.
Thanks again, Jerry.